Wow. Some hot news just in. I don't know whether you heard it. We weren't listening to the news because we were sort of sorting things out the microphone. But if you've been following the European Championships, Russia have been given a suspended disqualification from Euro 2016. So that means
the whole games?
They're not disqualified, but it's been a suspended disqualification, which means I guess if they misbehave a bit more, they get kicked out. Yeah, it's like that's going to really do any good, eh? It's like they've done all the damage. They've slapped you on the wrist. If you continue to misbehave, we're going to chuck you out. I don't think that's going to work, do you?
No.
I really don't. Anyway, look, that's not the reason why we wanted to chat about today between 12 and 1. We should say we've got Prickles in, a.k.a. Ali, and sometimes when we're cross with her, we call her Alison Hayden. And we've got a handsome fella over there called James Whelan. That's right, isn't it, James?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and just get slightly closer to that microphone if you can. And we've also got a vision of loveliness there from Bolton.
Yes.
Haven't we? So just introduce yourself, because I've forgotten. I only remember the handsome fella.
Hannah Griffiths.
Hannah Griffiths, of course it is. Are you any relation to Melanie Griffiths?
I'm not, no.
Because she's coming in on Friday, and she's doing a chat show on Friday, funny enough. So there's a lot of you Griffiths around, isn't there?
There are quite a few.
Now, you're here, just tell us, you're here in an art capacity, sort of. And James is in a washing of windows capacity.
That's right, yeah.
So tell us first of all about the art side of things.
So I'm project manager at Independent Arts. We're a really little Isle of Wight charity that works predominantly with older people to reduce social isolation.
Okay. Now, we've got Ali in for that reason. Obviously, she's going to be in that isolated situation very soon. I know we make light of it, but we'll talk about it in a serious sense. And, we obviously highlight the work that you do and obviously the work that James is going to do. Single-handedly, he's going to go around and wash the white. Is that right, James?
That's right, yeah. I'm going to go around and wash people's windows for a donation.
And that's just you?
No, my business partner as well, so there'll be two of us.
Okay, just two of you then?
Yeah.
Washing windows.
Yeah.
And when is all this? It sounds a bit like Bob a Job Week. Do you remember Bob a Job Week?
Yeah, with the Cubs, wasn't it? And the Boy Scouts.
So this is coming up very soon?
Yep, 2nd and 3rd of July.
Okay.
So it's for the whole weekend, and we'll go around to people's houses and clean their windows for a small donation.
Okay, and you raise the whole thing. We're raising money for. I can't believe this, because I said to you, they're only about, you know, £300, like £350 for an iPad. What a wonderful thing, though, to actually stop and do. You know, let's take the time of the trouble, we'll go and wash a few windows, and we're going to raise this piece of kit so we can help people. How wonderful is that? But also, you think to yourself, well, Ali's got £350 in her purse. Just hand it over and give James the weekend off.
I so haven't. I spent that at the weekend.
Now, you're raising money for an iPad.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us why the iPad is very much needed.
So we use the iPad across all the work that we do at Independent Arts. So half our business works in care homes, offering artistic sessions. So we do things like dancing, arts and crafts, teaching iPad sessions, singing and music, and obviously having an iPad means that we can play songs on things like YouTube for sessions. We can use them to record some of the sessions so people can see what they're doing, and for our reminiscence work, where we do things like, you might look at an old sweet shop or perhaps some photographs of the town where you grew up. An iPad is invaluable for that kind of thing. And we also use them a lot in our grant-supported work. So out in the community, we have a project called Sing About. We have a project called Singing for Breathing. We do Dance Makers, which means that we can video sessions or we can bring up musical score at all those all the sessions. And for our creative writers, who are our young writers group, which meet on Saturday morning, they've been using them to for part of their sessions as well. So, and obviously because you connect to the internet, you can do things almost instantaneously, and they're just invaluable in the work that we do, and we can never have enough of them.
So what are the age groups that what's the age that we're looking at here?
For Sing About sessions and Creative Futures, which are our community more community-based sessions, we work with anyone from around about 55 years old and up, but we're not that bothered. If you want to come along and have a go, that's fine. And then obviously when we're working in the care homes, it's anyone who's a resident in the care home. So I mean, some people are there once again in their 40s or 50s right up until 90s, and we have one lady who's on our Creative Futures books who's 106. 6.
Good grief. I bet Ali went to school with him.
You're so
106.
Mean.
106.
Yeah, she's 106. And she loves the iPads, actually, because she used to work on farms. And we can bring up pictures of the Isle of Wight landscape on the iPad. And we can blow them up really big so she can see them. And obviously, we can store lots of images on there, or we can get little bits of video clips up, perhaps of heavy horse work in the 1930s when she was going into farming. And yeah, it's been really, really useful tool.
Do you know, it really does highlight a bit of an issue, and I think we take it for granted. Even though we may all have elderly parents or elderly grandparents, we take it all for granted, because all of this technology stuff has only kicked in the last sort of 30 odd years. And, you know, my mum's 83 and she's got herself an iPad. She doesn't really know how to use it, but she can sort of do certain things on it. She plays Scrabble on it.
Mm.
So it's a wonderful thing, but there must be so many people out there that probably feel a little bit isolated and lonely because they can't connect, they can't communicate via the way that the most of the world is communicating with nowadays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you must see that, and that's the reasons why we're doing this?
Part of, yeah. I mean, anything to reduce that social isolation, really, and all the projects feed into that. But Creative Futures in particular, where we train our volunteers to work one-to-one with people who are socially isolated in care homes, which is a huge problem, I think particularly on the Isle of Wight, because a lot of people retire here, perhaps with their spouse, and their family are all still on the mainland, when maybe 5, 10, maybe a little bit longer down the road, they end up having to go into residential care. And that means that maybe they only get a visitor once every couple of months, or maybe even a couple of times a year. So if we go in and we can do some of these iPad sessions, it means that perhaps they can learn to send an email, or they can learn to Skype. We've got one of our volunteers who's working with a care home resident in East Cowes, who they're working on setting up so that he can contact his family more easily than waiting for a letter, or because his hearing's going, being on the telephone is not that easy to do now.
Well, do you know what? I'm 51 and I struggle with being on a normal telephone, and to the point where I don't answer the... I mean, I'm an antisocial so-and-so anyway, but I don't answer my phone at home because I can't hear. And I don't want to keep saying, pardon. Mm. And, you know, so I feel bad about that. I feel embarrassed. I'm only 51, but these people are sadly a few years older and, you know, struggling with an awful lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's really... I'm glad you came in, and I'm glad we're having a conversation about this, and I'm glad we're going to spend the whole hour highlighting what is probably a huge problem on the island. And we all know that, I mean, you know, we were just saying about Captain Sensible at the weekend, came over, made this lovely joke, and he was very, very funny. He came out with something along the lines of... Hello, Isle of Wight. I came over here 20 years ago and thought, but now I'm the right age. So we all know that what people think out there, we're an old island.
Mm.
How many? Do you know how many care homes there are?
Somewhere around the region of between 40 and 50, I think, or thereabouts.
That's massive. That's a massive amount. When you think years ago, we were talking about nightclubs earlier on, there was about 35 to 40 nightclubs on the Isle of Wight back in the 1980s. And now there's I don't know whether
Couple and Ride
is there? Are they proper nightclubs?
I think they're pubs that stay open a bit later. I think
Coburg's is a nightclub, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. But there we are. We've got 40 odd places. How many places are in around Newport, do you think?
What care homes in and around Newport?
Right on our doorstep.
Probably between eight and ten.
Okay.
I would say within about 10 minutes of the middle of Newport.
Right on our doorstep. I mean, and we know nothing about them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't anyway.
I do.
Because I don't take the time and the trouble. Yeah, we should point out that... just tell us what your background is, Ali. Apart from being old.
I'm what's called now as a healthcare assistant, but I've just recently finished working at Solent Grange Nursing Home. And before that, I had a contract with the NHS at Poppy Unit, which was done to relieve the pressure on beds at St Mary's for the winter.
Okay, so you've got a bit of background, mm-hmm. a bit of knowledge about it, and I'm totally ignorant. Even though I've got an elderly mum, and I think it's a real pain in the backside to have to go and visit her because, you know, she's got cantankerous and she won't. You try and message her via her iPad, and sometimes she gets it, sometimes she doesn't. You get frustrated because if she'd have got on with the technology 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have the issues now. You're smiling because you obviously come across this every day,
yeah,
on a daily basis, and you think to yourself. Somebody said to me a little while ago, You could do some sort of class here at Vectis Radio where you show them how to use a computer, iPad, mobile phone. Because, you know, it's not just iPads, is it? Let's be honest, it's mobile phones as well. There's all sorts of issues here. So is there a plan for, you know, this to be expanded, made bigger? Because I'm looking at you and thinking, one iPad. Come on, we can do. Look, come on, Isle of Wight. We've got a lot of old people down here. You know, we can do better than that.
Yeah, we actually have a session on a Monday morning at the Baptist Church in Quay Street in Newport called the Creative Cafe. And as part of that, we have a number of iPads set up on a weekly basis so that people can come in and use them. And we also have some of our trained practitioners who come along and do a session once a month and help them expand the use of them. And through that, a couple of the ladies who go quite regularly have purchased their own iPads in order to be able to do things like learn to surf the net. And also, I think Age UK have a really nice chap there who does iPad training sessions. It's part of the funding from the Age Friendly Iowan Lottery Grant, which funds our Sing About and Creative Futures project. It's all part of that pod of money. It's not something that independent arts are thinking of doing, sort of expanding far and wide, but we're trying to bring them into contact with as many people as possible through the projects that we've already got funded.
Mm. And you must find on a daily basis as well that it's not just, you know, things like iPads and things, TV. I feel so sorry for people that are of a certain age that are not technically switched on, not so much gifted, but even just switched on, because there are enough of us that went through. Let's be honest, if you're about 85 now, you would have had X amount of years. If you're 85 now, you would have had 75 years at least of just working a normal television. You go up, you push a button, it comes on, and you can pick 1, 2, 3, or 4. And they were very good because they added one, and then a few years later, when they got used to that, they added 2, and then so on and so on and so on. And now, what have you got now? They put one arm up everybody's backs. They said you had to go and buy all this digital stuff, and now you've got hundreds of channels, and it's quite complicated. Because I must admit, I struggle sometimes with it. So Lord only knows what it's like for somebody of a certain age to get their television to work and record, and then delete stuff and so on. I mean, it must be an absolute nightmare for people of a certain age. And I do sympathise, but I find myself also, because you get to that age with certain people and you get frustrated because they don't really want to, you know. I remember going up to my mum's house and this was, you know, probably when she just invested in Sky. The big changeover came across, and she invested in Sky and it snowed, and she phoned me up and she said, I've got a white picture, that's all I've got is a white. So I had to walk up there in the snow. And I, as I walked in, I saw what the problem was. And you probably worked it out already, James. You walked in, you look at the dish and you think, OK, the old LMB's covered in snow. So you have to lean out the window, tap the LMB, get rid of the snow, OK, and then it works. And then she said, and she's absolutely right, she didn't have to be a brain scientist to work this out. She said, wouldn't have happened on normal TV, would it?
It wouldn't. No, not on an aerial.
So what we got, it kind of is lovely. The technology is marvellous and it works for some of us. But there's a generation that, and they're not all, you know, you must come across people all the time that you think, wow, you're very, very switched on, and they, you know, they're the old silver surfers.
My nan's pretty good at Facebook. I think it's the biggest mistake trying to show her how to do it, because she likes
your
everything.
Nan's on Facebook.
Oh yeah, she's brilliant.
How old's your nan?
She's 78, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, she's all over it.
That's great. I mean, how proud of you of your nan, because she's on Facebook and she's like working.
Well, she likes
cool.
all my pictures and then shares all my stuff I do about my business or what I've done on holiday, or because I haven't been on holiday for a while, so she hasn't shared any of them. But yeah, she it's good to get in contact with her as well, so I can chat. She does the Facebook chat and all that kind of stuff, so I can speak to her at home all the way back in Cheltenham. So yeah,
that's great, isn't it? That really is great. That's a lovely thing to be able to do, and you're going to be able to do more of this at some point. And
absolutely.
You've got how long have you been doing this yourself?
I've been project manager since the 1st of October last year.
Okay, so what made you get involved? Threat of getting old yourself?
No, actually, I was freelancing last year and the job came up and it looked really interesting, and I wanted to work with my local community really, and I really liked the idea of the projects and how they were helping people, and that's why I
good for you.
Jumped on board with independent arts.
You know,
yeah.
I made the joke of threat of getting old yourself, but then we're all going to get old at
absolutely.
Some point.
Absolutely.
And we are. And hopefully, you know, we help enough people, they help us when we get older.
I think for me as well, particularly because I don't have kids, I see a lot of people and I think, God, is that going to be me in 60 years' time with no visitors because you've got no family? So I kind of think, well, actually, that could be me. And that's why I'm really keen on making sure the quality of life for these people is as good as possible.
How hard is it for you to, you know, stand back and watch people that have... you know, don't have any families, or don't have anybody, and they're, you know, they so you like gone in and you're, you know, a friend to them. You show them how to do this. I mean, that must be quite emotional at times, I would imagine.
Do you know what? I think in the last sort of 7-8 months since I've been working there, I've heard so many heartbreaking stories about how, you know, if people have got family just down the road and they don't go and visit. You know, it's scary, really. But also in the same way as that, you hear fantastic stories that come out of some of the projects. So we've got one chap who's been visiting a guy out in Sandown, and they're taking him out to the pub tomorrow for the first time in 7 or 8 years. They're just going to go for a quick half a shandy. But that means that guy is coming out of the care home. He's doing something that he used to love doing when he was, you know, upwardly mobile, and that's great.
How lovely. That's a really lovely thing, that is. Look, so do you want to take a call? I think we've got someone coming through here. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Greg, sir.
Hello. It sounds like Arthur. You broke up a little bit then, though.
Well, that's what you get when you've got everything's relying on technology, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
If I was phoning you from the old-fashioned landline, it wouldn't do that, would it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be able to hear you on the landline. You can't turn the volume up.
See, the trouble is with all of this, right, you know, eventually, as people get old and die, the people that are more technology savvy will come to the fore, and it'll eventually die out of its own, you know. But why does everybody have to have all this technology? This is the bit that I don't like. And I mean, I'll embrace as much as I can of it, but I don't like being told that I can only do something on a computer. Or the other day, I needed to find out something, and I could only find out by questioning the people on Facebook. Well, I'm not on Facebook, so that means I can't deal with that company.
That's a really, really good point to make, and I've been saying this for years. There is a you mentioned the word isolation, and that's exactly what's happening.
Yep.
Here. You know, we in a minute we won't have cash.
No.
We won't have cash, and we won't have those things. And you just imagine that anybody over 65, it's going to blow their mind, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
Cash. What's going on?
Anybody over 50.
But that's where we're going.
I still do with cash.
That's where we're going. You make a really good point there, Arthur.
Well, here you go, right? Have you been at the WH Smiths this week?
No.
Right, you can't pay at the till anymore.
You're joking.
Really?
There's an automated till. You can only go to the till for cigarettes and, obviously, inquiries and the lottery.
Wow. That's incredible. You just think, if you're a person that is of a certain age, you know, you're looking at 80s, and you're going out on a... To the shops, going to get your paper. One of the things is having a chat, imagining with the person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're even and they're doing that in banks as well, aren't they?
Well, the Barclays as well, isn't it?
That's all automated. My wife has to go and do all my banking for me, because I get so fed up and so annoyed standing in a queue to work out how to work a machine when somebody has to come over and show me how to use it. If the person that showed me how to use it was behind the till, I could be in and out in less of time.
Yep.
You know? But no, you've got to use a machine. And the machine, if it doesn't work, then you've got to go and queue up at a till. And, you know, and the whole thing is so... I mean, I don't know what's being gained. I know what's being lost.
Mm.
It's jobs that are being lost.
Arthur, it's not only...
gained?
It's not only jobs, it's people skills of actually communicating with each other, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
bang on.
Absolutely.
You know, but what is, you know, is actually being gained by this?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cut down on overheads.
Yeah.
It's
all about profit,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So if everything's money orientated, which is what it is, right, how can we have situations whereby we're held to ransom because if we don't do something, it's going to cost us more?
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, I mean, you know, not one that sort of steer you too far away from what you're talking about, but could you imagine the being held to ransom if Mr. John Smuggins decided that he was going to take his festival anywhere else? Could you imagine the old ferry companies would say, well, we've got to put the fares up to cover for the loss of income. The council would probably say, we've got to put your council tax up to cover for the loss of income. But what did they do before these things?
Yeah, that's a that's a point. It's a good point.
What? Have you been to the dump lately?
Which one?
Well, Lynn Bottom Tip.
We were talking about this last night at the parish council meeting.
Yeah.
Well, you got queues all the way down the road to the traffic light to get in there because you're greeted by some worthy in a full cream cheese seller's dream suit, you know, and he asks you what you've got in your vehicle. Rather than let you go and dump it, he asks you what you've got. And by the time you've gone through what you've got, you've wasted another 5 or 10 minutes of your valuable time queuing up. But, you know, how long is it going to be before you can't go to the dump unless you go onto the computer and tell the council what you're going to take to the dump?
Some councils are already doing that.
Well, I mean, how stupid are we as the general public to allow this?
But Arthur, in all fairness, I mean, this, like I say, this came up at Arrowton PC meeting last night about the queues into Lynn Bottom Tip. He's asking you because where they've extended it and they're hoping to expand it further, so he can direct you to where you should be dumping what you're trying to dispose of.
Sure,
because it's all about recycling.
Mm. Yeah, but surely the answer there is not to stop people at the gate and cause a queue, but to attempt to, when the people pull up and park, is to ask them and show them then.
I think the idea was because people were, I mean, you couldn't move around the tip. You were sort of in a queue of like 4 or 5 wide, waiting to get round to where you were going. But because that's been extended, I mean, you're like me though, Arthur. You remember the good old days of just opening the boot and chucking it over the wall. It didn't matter what it was it?
Yeah, but everybody has to do these things the correct way. I accept that things change, okay? Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't accept that I have to tell somebody exactly what I've got down to the last screw before I've even got out of my car.
Right. Mm.
I'll tell you what, Arthur, because we have got on off the beaten track a little bit.
But it's all part of the whole thing about, you know, you know what's going to happen. As the gentleman rightly said to you there, other parts of the country, you probably have to go on a computer to tell the council or the functionary what you're going to take down the dump. It's this total and utter over-reliance on technology.
I think you're absolutely right. I think what we do is we get the guys from AMI in the next couple of weeks, okay, and we put that to them because it's a valid question.
Well, it's unfair to pick upon them specifically because it's not just them. But the reason I phoned basically is because I couldn't believe it when I went to buy my newspaper in WH Smith and I was accosted by a machine.
Yeah, I mean, I still... I mean, they're doing it in B&Q, aren't they? They're doing it in Sainsbury's.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing it just about everywhere. And it's kind of sad that we're losing those things, those skills, those communicational tools that we have, like, you know, talking, which is, you know, let's be
people
honest...
People don't talk anymore, do they?
You sound like Cliff Richard.
No, don't go down that route.
We'll be singing in a minute.
All right, OK. I see the point you're making, to say my worry is, I mean, I have this view that we're being given all these tools to do all of these things, and then someone's going to switch the electric off, and then we won't be able to. We'll be sat in darkness, and we won't be able to do anything.
And then
the sad thing is, we'll be then reliant on the old people to teach us how to communicate.
Yeah, and pens and paper.
Especially over here, as we buy our electricity from the mainland. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So if somebody or something goes wrong and we don't get any juice to the island, we have no electricity. We would be you couldn't do your job. You couldn't do what you're doing.
No, that's true.
I think that with the buying electricity, it's through a stockbroker. So they sell it as a package, and then that's where you get your deals from. The supplier always remains the same, but with your British Gas and such, they're the people that provide you with the electricity. So you buy the electricity off of them. Yeah.
So if somebody decides they're going to cause mayhem in the country, where would you go to first to cause mayhem? You go to where the electricity is being generated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But they're pretty well guarded, aren't they?
The country comes to a halt, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, mm-hmm. Where's the plan B? There is no plan B. Who owns it all? We don't even own it. It's owned by foreign companies.
Mm. It's a bit like Arsene Wenger. He's never had a plan B either, has he?
Oh, yes, he has. Plan B is to retire in the next season.
Well, I hope so. Then he can go on the course then and it'll get shown how to use an iPad.
Yeah, he can come do some singing with the tiny box. No problem at all.
Hey, look, thanks for your call, Arthur.
I'll leave you with one final thought, right?
Go on.
The old term is, don't teach your grandmother to suck eggs.
Or your mother, Ian.
All right, thanks for being here, Arthur.
Bye,
mate. Bye.
Cheers. So let's just bring in James a bit more now, because you're going to be washing windows, you're going to be raising money. How's it all work then?
Okay, so basically, I can go through how it all started and how we got into the window wash the white and the event for the business side of stuff. The good thing about the business side of stuff, if you like.
Go on, plug the business. As
okay.
Well. Yeah, go on. What all you right. Can. So when we go on FM, you
wash your business.
So. White Stream is an exterior cleaning company.
Is it?
It is. Based on the island. We only started last year, so we've just come through our first year of trading. And with any startup business, the last thing you think about when you're buying all your equipment and all this bits and pieces is the media side of stuff. So for us, we were like, well, we've run out of money. What are we going to do that we can advertise our business as well as helping somebody else? Doing it on not on the cheap, but it's
on
not
budget.
On a budget, yeah. Mm. So my business partner Dave, he's been in before, he said, well, I want to get in the newspaper. I need to find out a way of how to get in the newspaper, because obviously on a press release it's free for businesses to do that. So I was like, well, let's do a charity event, because people can get into the newspaper via charity events. And we're like, well, what are we going to do? So we can do people's driveways. That's a bit too much money for us. We can do this. That's going to take a lot of time. So we think, well, we do window cleaning. It's quick, it's cheap, and it's something that we can do as a business and not lose a shed load of money for doing it.
Sure.
Because obviously we're not getting paid for doing this weekend or,
sure,
or any other weekend. So let's do a window wash the white. There's no events like that on the island before. That's how we came up with doing the window wash the white. Now, we did it last year for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. And predominantly it was to get customers for us as well, a regular window cleaning round going to. And it worked really well. We got our customers, the charity got their money, and actually we got quite a lot of press out of it too.
Good.
Yeah, it was really good for us. But it was also good for the charity too. So this year, we were like, well, we don't really need another window cleaning round. However, the stories that I got from the customers that we were dealing with, the Earl Mountbatten Hospice has done this for our grandfather or mother or even children now, because the children are going through it as well. And actually, that gave me a little bit more pride in what I was doing, and actually really enjoyed doing it. We're not actually gaining anything from this, apart from a little bit of press, but I quite liked the giving to the charity part. So for the business side of things, I think it's a really good thing for small businesses to get involved in, for a great media impact, something you can push out your name as well as theirs, and everyone kind of wins from it.
Mm. Okay. I think that's well put. I think, you know.
Very passionately said as well. Yeah, no.
Okay, so this is happening in a couple of weekends' time.
Yeah, so the 2nd and 3rd, basically you can go onto our website, click on events. So the website's whitestream.co.uk. Click on events. It's got a little bit about independent arts and what they're doing and what we're raising it for. And you can register that way. And there's a form in there. You fill it in. It gets sent to us via email. And then we can email you back and then give you a time and a day, whatever specific is better for you.
Okay. Well, what we can do for you then, we can offer you a commercial. You write and produce it, or voice the commercial. We'll produce it, we'll put it on air by, you know, whenever you get it voiced.
Okay.
And we can run that until you know, the up to the day.
Yeah,
so we'll do that, and we'll put a logo on the website, a link to the website, because I think this is really important. I think this is really vital. There's an awful lot of stuff, charities, because I say that I think the Isle of Wight is an incredible place. They always find it, even though we were talking about it earlier on. Mm. It's a poor old place, you know. Yeah, okay, there are pockets of wealth, as we you know, you well know, but you know, we've got a government minister over today that's come down to have a look at austerity on the Isle of Wight. It's taken his time, you know, but there we are. He's got here eventually, so which is great news for us. But we lose sight of what's important. We lose sight of just what we've got here on the island. We're lacking in business, but we do have a lot of old people. And you know that sounds. Don't get me wrong. I'm for us looking after those people.
Yeah. Sure.
Like we should. But we forget sometimes that they're there because they're in homes. Like I say, I asked you a question. There was a reason why I asked the question. There's 8 to 10 care homes in Newport. I live in Newport. I walk around Newport an awful lot. I go around with my eyes open, but I don't see any care homes. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is we don't see it, so out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And I think it's time that we did something. We made a point. And I think what you're doing is marvellous. I think going into, you know, people's houses, homes, what you know, and helping them. It's kind of sad that it's come to this, because you think in another 50 years, those people that are that old now, they would have gone through the technology thing and they would have grasped it. What we don't, we sometimes forget, is that these people didn't ask for this. They're almost like the guinea pig elderly people, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Because they're having to go through it and learn themselves. Whereas I say, you roll it on 50 years, there'll be a conveyor belt. Elderly people would have picked up, they'd have had a computer for X amount of years, a laptop and a phone, and they know exactly what they're doing.
They'll be Twittering and all sorts, aren't they?
Whereas it's totally different. And there will be some people out there that are of a certain age saying, oh, you don't knock it, mate, I've been on it for years and years, and I'm 81, and so on and so forth, like your gran who's 80, 70, 78.
76, so she'll 76, kill me. Yeah, don't say that.
You're doing well, so much trouble. She's going to be Facebooking you later.
I know.
But even go back to when I was at school, which I know is quite a long time ago before you say it, but even go back to when I was at school, I went to Sandown High School and there was one computer, and all the geeks went to computer club after school. Well, nobody I know ever stayed back after school.
Well, even when I was in school, and I'm only 30, it was the Amstrad that was coming in. It used to be the calculator, like the big calculator screen. And where it's gone from then to now is just unfathomable. And I think we're going to be a lost generation, maybe, potentially.
Definitely.
In that time where, in 80 years' time, where, well, I probably won't be alive in 8 years' time, but I might be, you never know.
But it's that progressive. So quick, yeah.
Did you say 8 or 80?
80.
Well,
80.
So I'm a bit worried, because you don't, you know, when you said 8, I thought...
No, sorry.
Don't line them up for washing the window.
Are we going to last at the end of the show? I think it's maybe we should get so, because we have an array of they won't thank me for saying it, we have an array of Silver Surfers on the air. And it's wonderful that they come in. We've got one coming up after me. And, you know, he's a retired teacher, and he's a lovely bloke, and he's more than capable of working a computer. And there are people that, you know, 10 years, he's about 62, 63. He's only a youngster, really. But there are other people that, you know, yesterday there would have been a little old granny sat there in the shape of Dame Shirley, and she's, like, almost 75. And you think, well, she uses an iPad. She's grasped it. But, you know, it's places like this that keep it going. It's things that you're doing. It keeps people interested and keeps them going, really. And I think that's a really lovely thing. So I think we should go for more than one iPod. But let's iPad. So let's work on that in the future. Because I think there's an awful lot of people that could do with the help. And I think we need to address that. We really do. 8 to 10, it shocks me, 8 to 10 care homes just in Newport that most people would know nothing about. Do you know where they are then?
Probably, yeah, if I thought about it.
You thought about
it? Yeah.
Because you probably thought, I'll end up there one day. So you've got to be able to have a laugh about it. You've got to be able to smile
definitely.
About it, because we are going to get old.
We're all going to get old.
I'm just so glad that I picked up the technology before. And I just sympathise with people that have got to an age where they thought, well, I didn't know how to switch a computer on. No one told me how to do it. You know, and they've got the basic phones, they can't do this, they can't do that, and they feel, like you say, isolated. How sad is that? For a moment, we should just turn it around, and you're that person that can't communicate via Facebook. Just think about this for a while, okay? Just do this. You're not on Facebook because you don't know how to work it. You're not on Twitter. You can't send an email because you don't know how to work it, okay? All your family, your three daughters, and all the rest of the family, they can't communicate with you. Okay, so you've lost that communication. That communication that you've got at the moment, that you sit there and do that thing when I'm talking to you and you're on your phone, it's ignorance, rude, by the way. And you're going, you're doing all of that and you're communicating with all of these people. You take that out of your life now. I know you go back 10
you're
years.
You're forgetting I didn't actually do any of that until about four and a half years ago anyway.
So you just take it out of your life now.
Mm.
And you've only had it for a period of time. On a scale of 1 to 10... how lost would you be?
Probably about six or seven.
For someone that's only just grasped it in the last couple of years.
4 or 5 years ago.
You just imagine if you're totally isolated, you know, and I mean totally isolated, and you've been that way for the last 20 years. You just imagine, what would it then be? That six would suddenly turn into nine or ten, wouldn't it?
But having worked in a care home as well, there is nothing nicer. And it's always made me smile than someone saying, oh, can you pass my iPad? And they're like 74, and you're like, whoa, you've got an iPad? It's incredible. Honestly, it's incredible.
Sorry, before you say anything, we're going to take a quick break, because we have to, because it's like, it's the rules. It's the rules of the radio station, and we've got to pay, we've got to play James's commercial anyway. So we are going to take a quick break, and then we will come back with more, and then you can just hold that, just pause like that. That's it. Stay like that for the next 2.5 minutes, and we'll be back and we'll see what you've got to say.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. Book now and you'll enjoy a 1-hour train ride taking you through the island's unspoiled countryside and woodland. Our new train story discovery centre at Haven Street provides an opportunity to get close to the carriages and locomotives. And a range of interactive activities can be enjoyed by all ages, telling a fascinating story of railways on the island. Also new for 2016 is the informative and engaging Bird of Prey Centre. For full details, call 01983 882 204 or visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Andy Gustar is here to tell us about Bring a Friend at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
Bring a Friend is a scheme we're running for our existing customers to take away a voucher and to bring a friend in with that voucher next time, so that you each receive a pack of our famous ham, our traditional ham and local ham. We're going to keep this going hopefully for around about 2.5 to 3 months. When you turn up, initially you'll be given a voucher, and on that voucher you'll find there's a small form to fill out as regards to your details, your name, your telephone number or your email address. We want to build a database that we can keep you in contact with our ongoing offers. We do some spectacular offers of a very good quality meat.
Hamilton's are in Newport, they're in Pyle Street. Where else are you?
We're in Cowes High Street, Wootton Bridge. We also have a shop now on Dudner Industrial Estate.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, the best local butcher in town.
Key Arts' Youth Off for Waves is offering another popular pottery workshop with Claire Robinson on Saturday 25th of June from 10 a.m. till 2:30 p.m, where young people aged 11 to 19 can have the opportunity to spend a fun day in our pottery studio. Your work will be fired and glazed and ready to collect 2 weeks after the workshop. It is really easy to book your place. Simply call Key Arts' box office on 822 490. Waves is a Key Arts' Youth offer, funded by the Isle of Wight Council and available to young people resident to the Isle of Wight.
The Wight Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Do you run your own business? Do you have staff? Have you considered how to protect your business if staff decide to leave? This is just one of the things you need to consider as an employer. Real Employment Law Advice can take the worry away and provide you with everything from employment contracts that are tailored to protect your business through to full HR outsourcing advice. Whatever your budget or whatever your needs, Real Employment Law can help. Go to adviceforemployers.co.uk for more information.
Social and get in touch. add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, it's us. We're back, and we're now going to do part two, and we're going to find out a little bit more about Wash the White, which is taking place in a couple of weeks' time. But we're also going to find out the help that it does, and the charity, and so on. And I stopped you in mid sentence, and then you said, sort of, I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Have you remembered?
I think it was about the therapeutic aspect of the technology. So it's not all about the communication. So it's not all about Facebook and Twitter. It's downloading apps that can help people. This, we've got one that we use quite a lot, which is sort of a paint by numbers. So obviously if the elderly person has got limited dexterity, it's easier for them to be able to just touch the screen than try and grip a pencil or a pen. And we've got a lovely app that we have that we use in with dementia patients predominantly, especially end stage dementia, which is it's a virtual fish pond, and if you touch the screen, it splashes or the fish comes up to the top. And obviously for someone who's very locked into their world, to have that is very calming and very peaceful for them. So the iPads can be used in all kinds of different ways, as well as, you know, talking about doing the Skyping and the FaceTime or whatever. We can use them for these art therapies as well as the communication tool.
Okay, and I honestly, this is awesome, really. And the more you talk about things, the more you realise just how much we take it for granted that other people will know about all of this, and how much it's going to open their eyes, the doors for them, and so on and so forth. So, just give us the details for the charity again, if you want to help.
Yeah, so we're Independent Arts, and you'll find us at independentarts.org.uk, or you'll find us on all social media as Independent Arts IOW.
Right, okay, not to be mixed up with the old Isle of Arts.
No, definitely not.
I love the fact that there's Isle of Arts. When you spell it out, it spells out a naughty word.
I love.
Look at it. That always tickles me. I don't know why, but so you must get a right buzz out of this, man. You know, seeing people, smile and come out of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, all the projects we work across, really. So we've got, I was saying earlier on, we've got a lady who has been coming to our Sing About project in Lake. They meet on a Friday morning, and before she was coming to Sing About, the only people who she saw during the week were her son, who works a night shift, so she saw him for about an hour a day, or when she went to do her shopping at Sainsbury's. And obviously now, just thinking about the caller before, if now all the shopping becomes automated, that means that the only people who she interacted with was her son. So coming along to one of our singing sessions really helps people get out and about. They got a chance to have a cup of tea and a chat, and she actually emailed me last week and said how it had changed her life being able to do that.
How sad it is, though, when you know that when we've got all of that and it's creeping into the high street now, even more so. I mean, the bank thing's been there for a while. I used Barclays and went in after they'd redone it and thought, whoa, what's going on in here? And all of a sudden, that communication is gone. They've been doing it at B&Q for a long time. They've been doing it at Sainsbury's for a long time. And I guess at some point, you know, they'll do away with things because it's cheaper. But, you know, the consequences are that we stop talking to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to go too far. I'm guessing that's why you only want one iPad. Because if you've got too many, they'll stop talking to each other.
They'll be on Facebook.
Yeah. Treating each other, yeah.
Just imagine it.
Yeah.
They'll be getting their own back. Because let's be honest. I mean, I think our parents, where they turn into us when we're, you know, as they get older, they do things to annoy you, just like we did, and they get their own back.
Yeah.
I can see, you know, later on in life, they'll all have mobile phones, and you'll be talking to them, and they won't be falling asleep like they normally do. You know, they'll be on their phone. Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah.
I'm texting someone, I'm on Facebook, or I'm just tweeting something, or
I'm on my Doro phone.
So you have looked into an iPad, and it's going to cost you about £300 and something.
Yeah, we an iPad 16 gig, so we can get lots of content on there, because obviously a lot of the places that we work don't necessarily have Wi-Fi, so we've got to download stuff onto it, and then we give them a nice spongy case as well, which means they're easier for people to hold, or if they get dropped, they don't get damaged.
Okay. So you got one there now. We'll get a picture of that later on as well.
Sure.
And we can show people that, you know, because it's, I thought, what did you think it was?
An Etch-a-Sketch.
That's what it looks like. It looks like an Etch-a-Sketch.
It does.
You know, iPads are pretty, they're pretty slim, aren't they? But that's got some extra padding on it. For obvious reasons. So how many people have used that then? That one there?
That one there, which one's
You just
from?
Hand it over and
creative
you say...
Creative Cafe. So this is one of our Creative Cafe ones. So we have approximately 12 to 14 people every Monday using the bank of iPads we have for that session. But if you think about the ones that we already have, we've got 8 that we use in care home iPad sessions, and they've been going for about 18 months, and they probably go to 2 sessions a week all year round.
Okay. What about this window wash then?
Okay.
Where are you going to be on the day?
Well, we're going to be everywhere across the island.
Okay.
So it literally is. You register and we put it in. We won't be able to give you an exact time as such, because I want to get as many people as possible. So I'm going to be organising the route so it's more efficient to get as much many people in as possible. So, yeah, you can pick your day. So if you prefer a Saturday or you prefer a Sunday, just you can, on the registration form, it says on there whether you prefer a Saturday or Sunday. And then the Wednesday before, I'll let you know. Once we've got, we're going to be closing the applicants then on the Wednesday before.
Okay.
So we can kind of get a route in place and all that kind of stuff, and then just plow out emails to people and let them know their time. But it would be a lot easier if you were to be there, obviously, because it's going to be a cash payment into a charity bucket.
Okay.
And then my little niece is going to be coming around with us as well.
Okay, look, I've got to say this to you, right? Okay, because don't get the wrong idea.
Right
now. Okay, you're a handsome fella.
Thank you.
Okay, you're quite fit for your age, obviously. Now I'm thinking, if you was to do this topless, you would attract the ladies.
Bigger donations, you're thinking.
Well, I've only got 3 weeks to hit the gym then, so yeah, I'm gonna.
Well, you best get to the
gym.
Yeah, I'm
gonna get to the gym
because I reckon you're gonna get a lot more money that way.
You reckon?
You topless window washing.
Yeah.
Come on, that's gonna
sell. Do
you do cars?
Because my car needs washing.
Well, only for you.
There
topless.
You there you go.
Oh,
topless.
I'm not going topless.
No.
Don't worry. It never crossed my mind either. I don't think it crossed yours, James, did it? Let's be honest. That's just an idea. I'm just floating.
Okay. Well, I'll speak to the other half and see what.
And I think you're going to get. You wanted publicity.
Yeah.
That. You will get publicity.
You will get publicity, and you'll get
page
jobs out
of it. Page 3 of the county press.
No. It's page 7 fella. That's what they call it. It's
right
page 7 fella.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I reckon if you chuck that into the mix, you're going to get some publicity.
Well, I'll do it topless for £30.
Okay. There you go, Ali. Do your car for £30. Pop topless.
Yeah, sorted. I can't believe I just sold myself on the radio.
She's got loads of money.
There's definite evidence.
That just happened,
didn't
it?
No getting back. Yeah. No.
You've just pimped him out.
It's what I do, Ali. It's what I do. Some weeks you don't realise. Okay, so let's move around the Isle of Wight a bit. You know, we've got 10 or 8 to 10 in. We're looking at Ryan, we're looking at Freshwater, we're looking everywhere where we've got care homes.
Quite a lot out in the West Wight area, so Totland and Freshwater, we've probably got about 7 or 8 out there. Lots in the Sandown and Shanklin area.
How many of you, though? How many of you lot? I mean, is there just you?
So we have 5 part-time office-based staff.
Right.
None of us work full time, and we oversee the projects. And we've got a fantastic chief executive who bids for all this lovely money, which helps us fund things like Creative Cafe and Sing About and Creative Futures. And then we have approximately, I would say, between 35 and 40 practitioners who deliver the sessions for us. And we've got over 50 volunteers now who either help support the cafe sessions and the singing sessions, or deliver those one-to-one creative future sessions, and we couldn't do it without them.
Okay, so we point out it's a charity.
Absolutely.
Okay, has the austerity cut into the charity? Is that a difficult question? Is that can you answer that?
I
don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I would say actually that obviously the way that things are funded changes in times of austerity, so there's perhaps more grants open to us to be able to bid for to do things, but obviously
right.
they only run for certain amounts of time, so
right.
we may have funding for something now but only for a year, and then after that you have to start searching for that funding again to be able to continue providing that service.
Right.
However, I suspect, and although this is just sort of looking at the general picture at the moment, is obviously with things like the minimum wage increase, that means that care costs are costing more, but because the government isn't putting more money into that pot, it might mean that some of the residents are missing out on workshop sessions because they something's got to give, and that kind of thing is perhaps one of the first places that it goes.
Okay, so they are missing out then?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, cutbacks, yeah. Missing out. Yeah. If he's listening, what's the guy's name again? Greg Clark's
yeah,
on the Isle of Wight today, government minister, coming down to see our austerity. Maybe you should have took him around a couple of care homes and showed him, you know, the good work that you are doing, and hey, look, put a bit more money in, and this is what we can support.
Because
let's be honest, you shouldn't have to do this, James. You know, the topless thing, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But you shouldn't have to, we shouldn't have to do this, should we?
No.
You know, we're making too many cutbacks. And thank goodness for people like yourself who's willing to put themselves out a little bit, all in the name of helping people. All right, you're probably going to get your name put down for a care home later on in life because you've done a good deed.
Or an MBE, either or.
Find you a good one.
Do you want to take one more call?
Sure.
Hi, who's this? Hello?
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 I'm just wondering if it'd be possible to get a couple of mentions for our beer festival over the next couple of days on your radio station.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you phone back after 1 o'clock, we'll give you as many mentions as you want.
Right, no problem.
Okay.
I will do that.
Phone back after 1 on this number and we'll do it for you, okay?
Right, cheers, you man,
thank you. Cheers. I was going to ask many questions there about, you know, beer. Where is it?
Where, exactly.
But we'll wait until after 1 o'clock because this is your time now. We're kind of running out. We've got about 2 minutes, to plug this a little bit more. We obviously get all the details again right at the very end.
But I think it's
a wonderful thing that you're doing. We don't do enough to highlight what's going on the island, and I hope this does. And you say you've got X amount of people that are working the charity and so on. And you mentioned, I think off air beginning, that the charity's been running since about 1987.
Yeah, we'll be 30 next year.
30 years next year. So is there something special planned for next year?
We're hoping to put together an exhibition of some of the art projects and things that people do with us. So we'll probably get our singers to come and have a sing. We'll maybe get our dance groups to come and do a bit of a dance display, and to gather together some of the artistic things that get built in the sessions that we run.
Okay. What we should remember as well is that the old saying that we've heard many, many times, you're going to hear it again, you'll be old one day.
Mm. And we all will be.
Yeah.
Well, you're more or less there, aren't you?
How do you come into work every day?
This is what I class, James, as my weekly fix of fun.
Oh, right.
I don't know why I class it as that.
She loves it, James. Absolutely loves it. Right, okay, let's do websites again. So tell us about your...
independentarts.org.uk, and then there's links to all our social media, which is a good way of actually seeing how the projects work.
Okay.
Off that.
Brilliant. And James Justin Timberlake. He looks a bit like Justin Timberlake, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ladies, you've got to see this man in action, washing them windows second and...
I can dance a little bit as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
we go.
He's up in the game here, isn't he, for the money.
Second and third of July.
Window wash the white. Go onto our website, whitestream.co.uk. Click on events, and then you can register via our website.
Okay, that's okay. Excellent. I wish you both the very best of luck on the weekend. I'm hoping that, you know, with our support and those people out there that are supporting as well, you'll make that total of £300 plus for an iPad, and
hopefully
you'll have enough for two or three.
Yeah,
that will be the target for me. But you know, little steps and all that,
mm-hmm.
And you know, one will be, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
it will be. A good start, won't it? Because it won't stop here.
No, absolutely guarantee not. We can. We've always got room for more.
And what will happen is they'll see him, in, you know, in his topless state doing windows, drive women crazy. That will. You watch Ali's car; never be cleaner, will it? Thank you both for coming in. Good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you, Ali, for coming in and being someone I can have a go at, and you don't take offence to. Well, not until off air. Right, when we get off air, we get outside. She stubs her fag butt in my face. Okay, then, stand by, because we've been talking about people of a certain age all lunchtime, and there's one more coming your way, and he will be here after the 1 o'clock news. Andy Knight, OBE, is here next.